Good morning. I'll be reading from Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 12. When the uproar had ended, Paul sent up the disciples, and after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He traveled through that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed 3 months. Because the Jews made a plot against him, just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back to Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus, and Maria, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men were on board and waited for us at Troas, but we sailed from Philippi after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. There were many large lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in the window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. While he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted.
And the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word to us and inspired and given by your Holy Spirit, without error, so that we may know you. Lord, I pray that you'd open our heart this morning, speak through your word to us, for we are here to meet with you and to hear from you today. Lord, may we leave here different than we came, because we are in the presence of you, our Almighty God. And through your word today, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and draw us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We all need encouragement at times in our lives. There's times that we may be going through hard or difficult times, and just someone coming up and giving us a word of encouragement can mean a lot to us. Dante Rossetti, who was a famous 19th century poet and artist, was once approached by an elderly man, and the old fellow had some drawings and sketches that he had wanted Rossetti to take a look at and tell him if they were any good, or at least if they showed some potential of talent. So Rossetti looked them over very carefully, and after the first few, he knew that they were pretty worthless. They didn't show the least sign of artistic talent at all. But Rossetti was a kind man, so he told the elderly man as gently as possible that the pictures were without much value and showed very little talent. He was sorry, but he couldn't lie to the man. The visitor was disappointed, but seemed to expect Rossetti's judgment, and he then apologized for taking up some time, but he said, "I had a couple other pictures here. Would you take a look at these? These are done by a young art student. Could you look at them and evaluate them for me?" So Rossetti looked over the second batch of sketches and immediately was enthused about the talent they revealed. He said, "These," he said, "are very, very good." He said, "This young man, whoever he is, has got great talent. He should be given help and encouragement on his career as an artist. He has a great future if he works hard and sticks with it." Rossetti could see that the old man was deeply moved at that, and he said, "Who is this fine young artist, your son?" He said, "No." He said, "It was me 40 years ago. If only I had heard your praise then, for as you see, I got discouraged and I gave up too soon." When someone comes and encourages you along the way and you're going through a hard, difficult time, here I have the picture of someone walking alongside down the path. And as we're walking down the path of life, when we go through those hardships and difficulties, when someone comes along and just encourages us, what a difference that makes to give us the ability to continue on in our walk for Christ. The scripture admonishes us several times to encourage one another. That's one of the admonitions of scripture. And encouragement is a theme of our portion before us this morning as we've been going through the book of Acts together. Today we arrive in Acts chapter 20. And we had just seen in chapter 19 last week about the riot that took place in Ephesus as the gospel came and changed that city. And as people come to Christ and it made a difference. And those in the city of Corinth who made money off of Diana did not like that. And the city was thrown into an uproar over the power of the gospel, that the change of lives that Jesus makes. And Paul now was moving on after that riot has subsided. And he continues on visiting many of the churches along the way. But I want you to take a look at verse 1 and 2 for a moment. In verse 1, you see a word. I have it circled. You may see it there. Paul spent many times encouraging the disciples. And you go down to verse 2. It is said he spoke words of encouragement to them. Jump down to verse 12 at the end of this section. And you see that after Eutychus, and we'll talk more about that, was brought back to life, the people were greatly comforted. That's the same word for encouragement. It's the word paraclete, from which we get the Holy Spirit comforter. So Luke brackets the events that happens in these verses with encouragement, both at the beginning and the end, and that makes it our theme of this morning about the power of encouragement and how we need that. So as we look at the Word of God together this morning, we're going to discover two ways in which we are an encouragement and how we can be encouragement to each other. And first truth we discover is that we are encouraged when we support one another. When we support each other, we find great encouragement in that. And how do we do that? Through connecting. Notice the first chapter opens by Paul saying that he went from place to place, encouraging the churches and visiting them. He sent out up to Macedonia again, up where Philippi and Berea, the churches that he had established on the second missionary journey, we had seen how they were planted. And Paul went back up and connected with each one of them and made a personal connection so they would be encouraged. And in our day, in which so many people are connecting one by one another virtually, that doesn't bring a true connection. Paul went personally and visited, and that making that personal connection, when we touch and connect with each other personally, that brings a source of encouragement. And he also connected physically. He went and visited with them, went from place to place. And when we connect with one another, and part of why we come to church and worship and we have small groups and growing together, right, Nick, is so we can make those connections. And through that, we encourage one another. And that's part of the way we find that encouragement. That's why the scripture says, don't forsake giving up together, but come together so we can make those connections. You see in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 22, and in Colossians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul sent Tychicus, and you see Tychicus mentioned here. He was traveling along with Paul. But Paul sent him to those churches for this express purpose, it says, of encouraging their hearts. So when Tychicus came and made that connection with them, they would be encouraged through that relationship together. And that's part of the beauty of the family of God and those connections that we have that are a source of encouragement in our life. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul sent Timothy to the church, to Thessalonica, to encourage them and to strengthen their heart. So in those personal connections that we make in the family of God, we find great source of encouragement. We see it here in Paul, you know, as he went from place to place, visiting the disciples, encouraging them, visiting, stopping along the way, connecting back with the churches that he had established earlier in his ministry. We also encourage, support one another by giving. Because as Paul was traveling, and record here in these verses 1 through 6, as he was traveling here, he was collecting an offering. And he was collecting an offering from all the Gentile churches that he was going to take at the end of this missionary journey back to Jerusalem and give it to the Christians, the Jewish Christians who were suffering, who were persecuted, who were going through hard time, and they were experiencing hardship because of famine that had come there. And so Paul was encouraging the Gentile believers through their giving would be a source of encouragement to other believers. And you notice the names that are mentioned here. And Luke records where they were from. They were from Berea, from Thessalonica, from Derbe, and from Asia, the province of Asia. And those were the churches that Paul had established earlier, and as we had seen as we've been going through the book. And as they had sent their offering, they had also sent representatives from each of those churches to travel along with Paul to take the offering with them and to give it from the one believers, encouraging the other believers. And through our giving, as we give and share with what God has blessed us with, that can be a source of encouragement to others as we give to our missionaries, as we give to those in need, or God lays it on your heart, and that God uses our gifts to be a source of encouragement to one another. That's why he encourages generosity. In Acts chapter 21, verses 17 to 19, just turn over there one chapter and see what was going on. We see that Paul was traveling and preparing to go back to Rome. And he said, when they arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers received them warmly. And Paul then took that offering and gave it to them, and it was a source of encouragement. In Romans chapter 15, verses 23 to 29, Paul was writing to Rome from this point. And he was writing to the church of Rome saying, I'm planning to come to you, Lord willing, after I deliver the offering to from the Gentiles to the Jewish believers, and I pray that it's a source of encouragement to them. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 9, Paul was writing back to the churches in Corinth and Berea and Thessalonica, using them as an example, and said they were give out of their generosity, out of their heart of love. God used their giving to be an encouragement and a blessing to others. So he encouraged the Gentile believers to give, and through that, through their giving, others were blessed. And we also are encouraged by serving. Luke records for us here the names of several of the traveling companions that went with Paul. And Paul had several companions that they served together. They were encouragement to Paul, and Paul was an encouragement to them. And as we serve together in the church and use the gifts that God's given us, he's done that so that through that, the whole church may be built up. Paul says that he has given all the gifts of the church so that the body of Christ may be built up and grow stronger and mature in the faith. So through our serving, through our giving, through our connecting, we find that source of encouragement. Years ago, when we used to take a group here from the church to Operation Christmas Child Processing Center, we would go down to Boone. And they'd put us on the line there at Boone, and they would give us a job. We would serve, and it was fun because all of us would do these things. But we were all united together with one purpose. And that one purpose was to get those shoeboxes to the kids in need. And when we use the gifts that God's given us serving together, we find encouragement. And Water Street Rescue Mission, this past month, several of us from our church went down to serve at Water Street. And we went down there to be an encouragement to them. How about it, John? To be an encouragement to them and to serve them. And they were an encouragement to us, because they were just so blessed that we went down and took time to serve them. So through serving, we find encouragement and giving and connections. So I have a question for you. Everybody have your thinking caps on? Did you have your Wheaties Breakfast of Champions this morning? The question, what keeps believers from encouraging and supporting other believers? If we find encouragement through our support of one another, and when we support each other, what keeps believers from encouraging and supporting each other? Any ideas? You're thinking? Well, possible answer. We can either be too busy, or we can be too self-absorbed. We can be too busy that we think we don't have the time to make connections with people. Or we can be too self-absorbed that we're thinking only about ourselves and not about the others that we're seeking to connect or minister to. And instead of supporting them, we want others to support us. So our own self-absorption, not being too busy, can keep us from connecting and supporting each other. And in doing that, we're missing out on the encouragement that we can give to others, or the encouragement that we can receive from that, as we are encouraged when we support each other. And the second thing we discover this morning is that we are encouraged when we worship together. Notice what happened in verses 7 to 12. The church then gathered together in Troas, and Paul knew that he was getting ready to leave the next day. And he was going to be setting sail. He's going to be leaving. And He knew that his time with the church at Troas was very, very short. So they came together on this Sunday to worship, and Paul began to teach. And he began to teach, and he began to preach, and he began to preach. And Luke says that he went on and on and on till midnight. It got to midnight, and a guy named Eutychus kind of just dozed off. But we are encouraged when we get together, we're going to see what happened here. And the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, let us not neglect meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, and especially now as the day of his return is getting closer. Because the closer the Lord's return, the more evil is going to increase and intensify. And the more we need each other, and the more we need that encouragement. And so we find encouragement when we worship together because God works in our midst. And God is present when we, the church, gather together. Do you believe that? And God was present when the church was gathering together there when Paul was ministering. And he was beginning to preach and to teach. And he preached till midnight. And Luke says that there were a lot of lamps in the room. That was significant. Luke was a doctor. He was also very interested in details. And the fact that he mentioned there was a lot of lamps in the room meant that there was a lot of heat. When you're sitting in a closed room with a lot of heat and someone's beginning to talk on and on and on, what can happen? Does anybody get drowsy? Does anybody get to try to fight off the sleep? Maybe we begin to look like this. You know, and first we get a little dozy Lizzy, and we just sit like that and hoping nobody will notice. But then as the service goes on, maybe our head begins to go back. You know, it's more like this and we can catch some flies. Or if we really want to feel spiritual, we can take a nap on our Bible and absorb the word of God that way by osmosis. And people begin to fall asleep, but yet God was in the midst of it and God was working. Because as Eutychus fell asleep, he fell out the window down to the ground, three stories, and he was killed. Boy, that ends a service right away. And we've all heard the story about the monument that was built in honor of the men who died in the service. And they said, which one, the early one or the late? And here, actually, he did die in the service. Paul says, stopped the preaching. He went down, rose him from the dead, and he went back up and was at the end of the service. No, he went on and preached till morning. Continued till the next morning, Lizzie. How about that? And so God was in their midst, though. He was working there. We've all heard the stories about people falling asleep in church. And we had a good friend in Columbia, Butch Holland. And you guys know Butch Holland. And Butch and Mary Lou were worshiping up at Kinderhook one time in a service up at Kinderhook. And he fell asleep during the service and went, boom, right out into the center aisle. And his wife was so embarrassed. And she was like so embarrassed, but he went right out into the center. But we hear about all kinds of things like that. And Kim and I were at conference one year. And it was during the ordination service. And the preacher for the ordination service went on pretty long. And the service for ordination can get long. And the guy sitting next to us was a pretty heavy pastor. And he went into this deep sleep. And then he started snoring. I mean, he was snoring really, really loud. And then Kim was looking at him, and she couldn't look at him because she would laugh. And Kim and I were afraid we were going to bust out laughing. He was going like that. And then he snored and woke himself up. And he says, oh, and he went back to sleep again. But God is in our midst. And God was in the midst there because even though that happened, the Holy Spirit through Paul did an amazing thing. And friends, we don't want to fall asleep in church because God is present with us. You believe that? And his power is at work, and his power was at work through Paul that day. And when the church gathered together, that's where we see the encouragement when we gather together because God is in our midst and he is working and moving in our heart. And anytime the church is there, we see the work of God. And God, the Lord through Paul, raised him up to life. And then the service went on. And it's interesting, Luke being a doctor, You know, he knows when a person dies. He knew that. And he saw him fall out. He was there present, and he saw him fall out and be killed. And he probably went down and examined him, that he was dead. Paul goes down, raises him back up, and goes back to preaching again. And it's interesting, as significant as that event was, Luke didn't give it much time. He didn't really spend much time on that. That wasn't the emphasis. The emphasis was the church was gathered together, and through the preaching of the word of God, God was moving, and the church was encouraged by that. But so we want to be here. We don't want to miss out on what God's doing. And that's the importance of being a church and being together in worship, because God's power is at work within our lives. But we also find encouragement because God's word is proclaimed. As I said, Paul spoke from midnight, and then he restored Eutychus, and then he continued on to the next morning, Lizzie, and continued on to the next day. Think how many notes that would have been, Lizzie, in writing them down. But and God was working because he wanted to share with them the word of God. Because it shows the preaching and the importance of the word of God as priority. That Paul, as he spoke and taught the word of God to the people, he wanted the church to know and to hear the truth of God so that they would grow in it and their hearts would be encouraged by the power of the word. Because it's the word of God that encourages us. So if we find encouragement when we worship together because God is in our midst and his word is proclaimed, then how do we listen to his word? How do we engage? In his book, Christ-Centered Exposition, Exalting Jesus in Acts, Tony Miranda gives us some ideas, some practical ways on how we can listen to sermons and how we can come so that we don't fall asleep, so that we don't jog off, so we don't miss what God is doing, because sometimes our mind isn't fully engaged. We may be thinking about the cake and ice cream coming next, or we may be thinking about what's for dinner, or we may be thinking about what's coming up, what the Steelers are going to win today. We might be thinking about that, or the loss of Penn State yesterday. And a lot of things can cover our mind that we come and we're missing out on what God wants to say to us in his word. So how do we listen? How do we engage? He gives us some examples, practical ways. Listen humbly. Then when we come to the word of God and the word of God is open, to our humble our heart before him, knowing that he is speaking to us through his word. This is the very word of God, and he has something he wants to say to us. And to humbly receive the word of God as it's planted in our heart and let it take root there and produce the harvest that he intends. To listen intently. That means with the focus. And Lizzie, every time she comes in on Sunday, she looks at the sermon outlines and say, oh boy, I have to do all this writing. But there's a reason I do that. The PowerPoint, the sermons, writing it down. The more we see, the more we write down, the more we hear, the more we can engage in what God is saying in his word. That's the reason for it. And it keeps us focused so we can be intent on his word and be listening to what he has to say in our heart. And listen biblically, making sure that what you're hearing and what you're being taught is true in the biblical truth of God's word and being accurately presented, as the church in Berea made sure. And they made sure that Paul was teaching them biblically and making sure that from a biblical perspective on the truth of God. And listening missionally, what is God saying in his word to me that he wants me to do? What's the result of how he wants us to apply to a hurting world that is lost, that needs Jesus? And how is he speaking to me to transform a world out there that needs Christ so desperately? What is he saying in my heart that he wants me to do? And listen practically. What practical steps does he want me to do? Because James tells us, don't just listen to the word, but to do it as well. To put it in practice in our life. He said, if we just listen, it's like looking at our face in a mirror and not making the changes, and we see what we need to do, but we don't do anything, we go away. And it's God's word doesn't make the impact in our life it needs to. So listen practically and listen gratefully, that knowing that we have the privilege of opening the word of God, his precious truth, and we have the privilege of hearing his word spoken to us. And we have the privilege of gathering together and hearing him right from the word of God. and have the gratefulness of the privilege. You know, there's many places around the world that they don't have the privilege to come open like this and to hear the word of God proclaimed. There's many places around the world they were just anxious for even one page of God's word. And the gratefulness that we have that we can hear the word of God proclaimed and receive what he has to say to us. So God is here to encourage us, and we are encouraged when we support one another, and we are encouraged when we worship together. So at the bottom of their sermon page, I have a practical application for you this morning. And this is personal for you. Two questions I want to ask you and write down. One thing I am going to do this week to encourage others is ask the Holy Spirit right now to reveal to you what is it, one thing that you're intentionally going to do this week, taking the word of God, putting in practice in your life to encourage and support somebody else. Connecting, giving, through those serving. Maybe it's sending a card. Maybe it's picking up a phone, calling somebody. Maybe it's a personal visit. But what are a way that you can connect with somebody this week? Or give or serve? What's one way, one thing you're going to do to encourage someone this week? Take a moment, write that down, and begin to put that in practice in your life, putting to work the word of God. And the second question, one area that I need God to encourage me this week is, where do you need God to encourage you through his word? Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you have fear, maybe doubt, worry. But where's an area that you need God to encourage you through his word as he speaks to you as you engage with his word and listen to his voice? And let him speak to you. Let him encourage you, because we find that encouragement through support of others and as we worship together in his presence. And he speaks to us through his word. So therefore, encourage one another and build each one another up, just as you have been doing. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for the power of encouragement. That your word, Lord, speaks to us so practically. That when we support one another, we find encouragement. Not only we encourage, but we encourage one another. And that's part of what we are admonished to do. As we make those personal connections with each other, as we give as you have blessed us to do so, or Lord, as we serve with the gifts you've given us, in all doing that, Lord, we are encouraged, and we are a source of encouragement to the church, greater church and body of Christ together. And Father, we thank you that when we worship together, we are encouraged as well, because you are present in our midst. You are at work in the world, and you're at work in your church. And anytime two or more are gathered in your name, you are present right there with us, and your Holy Spirit is active, and you are at work. And Lord, we don't want to miss out on what you're doing and amazing things that you do when your church gathers together. So Lord, may we be encouraged in your presence and by one another, but Lord, we're also encouraged when your word is proclaimed, because through your word, you speak to us. You encourage our heart. You show us the areas of our life that we need to yet yield and surrender to your lordship, the sins we need to repent of, and the things, Lord, we yet need to trust you in. So, Lord, encourage our hearts. We thank you for your word, its truth. We thank you for being together this morning and for bringing us together as your people. Lord, bind your word deep in our heart, that we receive gladly the word that has been sown in us, that it may produce the harvest that you intend, as we live a life of encouragement and are encouraged by you today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.